Shalom Mishpocha, Shalom family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word, it means family, and we're the Mishpocha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, I don't think she has a choice. She must be red hot for the Messiah. Her name is Mary Catherine Baxter, and I'm speaking to her at her home in Melbourne, Florida. And in 1976, she was a mother and a housewife, but she had received a very interesting prophecy before this event occurred in her life. What was the prophecy, Mary Catherine?
Well, it was several prophecies, Sid. We had a great church, a great pastor, John Cousin, and as we would have great meetings, he was a man that would go to like full gospel businessmen and different speakers, Shambach, and when he would take a team of us there, a prophet would always call me out. It seemed like I'd always be there with my pastor and leaders, and he'd say, "You young lady, you're going to have dreams, visions, and revelations." And then another prophet in our church said the day would come when Christ would appear to me and show me a revelation that would shake the nations. And I was young in this, but I grew up in church. I grew up in Tennessee in the church. And so I knew what it was to take heed to the prophets, to remember what they said and believe God for it.
But I don't think you were quite ready for what happened to you. These prophecies began to start, and you literally experienced going to hell for 30 nights in a row.
Yes.
And then for 10 nights going to heaven. Tell me that first time that you had your first visitation to hell. Describe that to me.
My first night when the Lord appeared to me, all right, I was saved and I had the Holy Spirit. And I was praying and seeking God because my husband worked the night shift and he had come home and went to bed and all the children were in bed. And it was my best time to study. I loved to study the Bible like waiting on him to come home at night. And then I would study from midnight till 2. I would pray and study and read the Bible because the children were asleep. And that was my time. And that night I was getting ready. I put my Bible up, and I was getting ready to go to bed. And a brilliancy of light appeared in my bedroom. And I began to worship the Lord. High praises come from my soul. And I looked into the light, and out of the light stepped the Lord Jesus Christ. He was very tall. He had on two-piece white garment. He had a beard and a mustache, very trim, very elegant. He had eyes that was the most beautiful, piercing blue you had ever seen. And my knees went down and my hands went up, and I called him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the feeling, Sid, that came from Christ, there's nothing in the world can touch except we go a trip to heaven. It is the most beautiful, beautiful power of God when the presence of Jesus and the love overwhelms you. And he spoke to me, and he called me by my name, and he said, "Catherine, the Father has spoken. You have been chosen by the Lord to go into hell with me, that I may show you the depths, the degrees, the levels, and the torments of hell for the whole world." And he said, "The day will come when there'll be a tape and a book and a movie made out of this, and this book shall be in every major language in the world." And he said, "This is not for a handful of people, but it's for the whole world." And he began to explain to me about my journey. Sid, he told me that at times I'd think he'd left me, but he had not. He told me hell was in the middle of the earth. He told me that every night, for 3 hours a night, he would take me by his power. He would actually translate me with him into the abode of the dead, and he would explain things to me that he wanted me to see. Only what he wanted me to know, he would show me. And he said, "This is very grievous, very sad, but," he said, "it must be done." And he said, "Because the people have lost the fear of God." He said, they have lost the fear of God's judgment. And he said, "With this testimony, many will turn back to me," he said, "and begin to read the Bible and know who I am." And that's what he told me.
Now, you probably don't have an answer to this, but I've got to ask it anyway. Why did he choose you?
That because he just said so, you know, the Lord had spoken. And I guess it's because many people, I say, why didn't God choose a man? And now there's men that've seen hell. He just said because that God had spoken, he chose me.
By the way, tell me about how you came to the Lord.
Okay. Well, I was, the first time I got saved, I was, I think, 8 years old. Then I was 12 years old. You know how you really, the kids go to the altar and they raise their hands and praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And they want Jesus in their hearts. Well, at 8 years old, I did that. And then when I was 12, a man came to our church and he preached on hell. He really preached about the power of God. And I was 12 years old and I ran to the altar. All of us kids did. We didn't want to go to hell. And I got born again that day and I was just shaken out of the power of the Lord. And then when I was 19 years old, I was born again. It was my experiences has been supernatural with God all my life. But with this experiences, it was my child, my firstborn child, and I was in the hospital, and she was critically ill. She had been very ill. In fact, there had been a miracle of miracles happened when she was born. She was a cesarean baby, and they had laid her down for dead, my daughter. And the doctors and nurses told me that a man came in, and he had a white doctor's uniform on and black hair, but they didn't know who he was. And he picked up my child and gave her mouth-to-mouth breathing for 45 minutes. And she began to breathe, and they put her in the incubator. They told me this later. Since then, that hospital has been rebuilt and everything. But anyway, it was the third day. They said if she lives 3 days, her cranial cavity had been squashed. And if she lives 3 days, it shall be a miracle of God. And on the third day, I heard music. I heard the most beautiful music. And my mama was a praying woman, and she had prayed till she heard angels sing for me. She prayed till daylight when they thought my baby would die. And what happened, I saw in my window seat, the clouds roll back, and a band of angels were standing there singing the plan of salvation to me. They told me I must repent of my sins, ask Jesus Christ to come in my heart and save my soul, and that his blood would wash me clean. They specifically talked about the blood of Jesus Christ. And when I did that with those angels, I felt like a waterfall had come up on me, had just washed me and washed me. And I knew I was born again. I knew it. And I began to shout and praise the Lord. And that's how I was born.
But I have to ask you, a band of angels?
Yes.
About how many of them?
They were about 20.
And what did they look like to you?
Okay, let me tell you. They were dressed with, some had long hair, some had short hair, okay, and they had garments on. They had, like, lavender, gold, taupe-colored garments, and they were different types, different sizes, their garments. Some come to the ankles, flowing. They had musical instruments. One of them had, like, a banjo. One of them had, like, a flute. One of them had, like, they were playing music. One of them had a guitar shaped like a guitar, and they were tall. Some were shorter, and they were standing on a stairway that came from heaven. And there was a cloud around these angels, and they had golden hair. They had beautiful, one of them had beautiful, bright, looked like red hair and brown hair. They were just beautiful. And they began to sing to me about Jesus and who Jesus was. And I've been to church all my life, since I was a little bitty girl. And I had that experience with the Lord.
But I'm holding in my hand, and we're going to go into her visitations to hell and heaven later on in the week, but I have a book in my hand called The Power of the Blood. And when I started reading this book, a thought crossed my mind. There's the Mel Gibson movie, The Passion of Christ, and one of the reasons that you wrote this book is you had a vision of Jesus suffering and his crucifixion.
Yes.
Out of curiosity, did you see the movie The Passion of Christ?
Yes.
Which was worse, your vision or the movie?
The vision was worse than what they showed in The Passion, because he was beat beyond recognition. He was beat, he was mangled.
I imagine if they showed in the movie, The Passion of Christ, what you saw in your vision, they probably wouldn't have been allowed to show that movie.
I know.
What impact did that vision have on you?
It had a lot in my life, because I realized what he did for me. I really realized that, Sid, even talking to you, what he did for me. If he had not went to the cross and did what he did for the whole world, none of us would be saved. His blood would have not been shed to wash away our sins. And it does a lot to you.
Well, the book that we're making available this week, The Power of the Blood, and of course it was written by you with your visions, and then from a theological viewpoint, Dr. T.L. Lowry, a very respected theologian. Why is there a need to write a book about the power of the blood?
Most people don't understand what you say about the blood of Jesus and the power in the blood. The blood washes away your sins. The blood of Jesus will heal your body. Even the name of the blood of Jesus, people need to understand that we're overcomers through the blood of the Lamb and in the name of Jesus.
Well, you know what I love is you talk about not just those areas, but you talk about walking in divine health. You talk about something that we don't even hear spoken anymore, how to plead the blood and how to plead the blood over your circumstances, over fear in your life, bring loved ones to know the Lord.
Yeah.
We're making her book, The Power of the Blood, and you know, it's the most wonderful Bible study, Dr. T.L. Lowry, and it's all biblical, and she explains her experiences in between the biblical, and it's going to give you a foundation for what's coming on planet Earth. Trust me, you need that foundation. We're making the book available for a donation of $18, The Power of the Blood.
Sid Roth has found the key to worldwide revival. This is God's time to reach the Jewish people with his love. Messiah Jesus has torn down the wall dividing Jew and Gentile. The two together form one new man to reach the world. God's method to reach the Jewish people is through signs and wonders. This is why our website, SidRoth.org, is jam-packed with tools to equip you to move in signs and wonders, understand Israel and the Jewish roots of the church. Log on to SidRoth.org today.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpacha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape, or CD, of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.